right, time for DoNotGod.com video presentation. Yay. And such. Yeah, okay, sorry. Just me. So, Life Sucks is a YouTube channel. He has in the past done kind of very interesting, kind of amazing things in terms of using aesthetics, art, one way or another, in terms of conveying messages, the message, okay, the dark side of our reality, I think in a persuasive, concise statements, images, babies on water skis kind of stuff, just kind of making it more obvious, that it isn't what our the nature of the beast is to try to make everything edible, make everything in some way consumable or useful, fuckable. We do that with, our imagination and augmentation. And every now and then we should get a little taste of reality. So anyway, he's produced this interesting video where he's used some clips of mine, and it's flattering and embarrassing, and it's very nice. And in this context of the TV show Cosmos, was a TV show, and so I thought that was very interesting, and using AI. And I think it's just sort of an interesting subject. The whole, I was alive when Cosmos was on, and it was at such a weird time in my life. The 1980s, Reagan was going to get elected, and all kinds of really all these bad signs of somebody who grew up watching us land on the moon in the 1969, and the whole Woodstock thing, and to see where we had ended up was quite disappointing. I mean, but compared to now, it's so much less. I would almost to have if it was required for me to lick Richard Nixon's feet, to have that world, to have Richard Nixon as president, I would do it. It's just that bad. We have, spiraled into such idiocracy, and part of it is, you could blame sort of the Wikipedia AI, the fact that everything that happened to the world, that changed the world so much, in terms of we got cable TV and we got this huge ability to watch anything, anytime. And we could see stuff from 50 years ago, or we could see, there was all kinds of capacity to pump all kinds of information. And at first it was brilliant. You'd put on the Learning Channel and you'd watch open heart surgery. Just amazing stuff you would be able to access. And it all turned into ghosts and UFOs, and the democracy took over. The common people drove everything into a sewer. The sewer of idiocracy. So in a way, it is another demonstration of this concept of how idiocracy takes over. Democracy becomes idiocracy. Yeah, that's a real subject, and it's not a subject I thought would ever be a problem, because it did seem like people could get it, when there was some kind of, when a bit of brilliance was just stated out there, people seemed to all say, yeah, that's, there you go. So when somebody said something like, okay, do unto others as you'd have, do what others do unto you, well, that lasted for thousands of years. It's a nice little sensible ethical statement. And then Martin Luther King came along, and who cares where it all came from, but the point is, the I have a dream and, you know, the idea of judging a man based on the content of his character and not some pigeonhole characterization of who they are, not some profile. Let a man prove who they are before you treat them like shit. You know, that kind of thing. And, you know, it's the kind of thing you say, okay, yeah, everybody got it. Everybody could get that stuff. You know, Coke commercials, you know, like to buy the world a Coke and sing in perfect harmony and all that mush. You know, people sort of got it and they lost it. And, you know, now, and it's just so crass and juvenile and immature. It's like everybody's turned into, they're all fetuses in terms of what kind of, you know, psychology and brain function is at work. You know, it really is like the world is being run by a democracy of 7-year-olds. Anyway, so there's some perspective here that's worth something. So I'll talk a little bit about Cosmos. And I'll play some of the clips out of this, but I would just say go to the video links somewhere. You know, you should be able to find them. Life sucks. It's not that hard to type that into the thing up there and search for the channel. it's the one with like 2,800 subscribers. Yeah, not tough. Anyway, it has like life as the icon with kind of a, you know. But anyway, you know, I was alive when Cosmos was made. It was right at the period where my life was turning to shit. Okay, I had an anxiety disorder that was really getting in my way, trying to work. I found it harder and harder. You know, I couldn't deal with staircases, like third stories on buildings. You know, I wasn't really claustrophobic, but it was getting, you know, the deeper I had to go inside of a building, the more nutty I got, squirrely, I used to call it. Driving to work, I started getting, if I had to drive more than 10 miles, it was a problem. So lots of, you know, my world was getting smaller and crushing in on me, and it was the, the amount of discomfort I was feeling made working, you know, working's already kind of nasty, and, you know, it's kind of a, especially if you have a brain, you know, and you got to do this nonsense of, you know, being a waiter. Or, you know, and I was also doing, you know, during the days I would do landscaping work, you know, cut grass and shit like that. And it was, you know, it was hard enough, you know, in terms of just having to endure this distraction from, you know, what you would think of as, what I thought of as a more useful pursuit of, like I said, I kind of wanted to learn stuff. I kind of wanted to go to college. That was another thing that was ruined by the anxiety disorder. And, you know, my bags were all packed and, you know, I couldn't get in the car and go. Couldn't do it. It's too much. Just the thought of, you know, dorm life and all the other crap. It's just like, no, just, yeah, no. Ain't gonna happen this year. And so that had already happened the previous, you know, 3 years ago. I mean, by 1980, I'd already been getting pretty far from being able to salvage my college life. So it was really a bad time for me, really, really bad. And Cosmos was just this, you know, the show was, first that music, that space music stuff, you know, I never heard anything like that before. And it was so piercing. And it was, the thing I liked about it was that it was pretty, but it was like a poignant and sad. It had an edge to it, you know, that wasn't happy. You know, there was just something about it that you know, it's better suited for playing at funerals than weddings. Kind of thing. It had kind of a depth to it. I don't know how to say that. And so, you know, for about a year, that's all I played was space music. You know, it was just that those tones and that that kind of stuff. So that was, you know, I have to concede that the part of the compelling part was this bit of the aesthetics, the art of it, that it sucked me in. You know, it, and of course I was interested. You know, physics was an interesting subject, but I wasn't more than high school educated. And I have to say I had more of a curiosity than I'd say the average person, just because I did an awful lot of experimenting with, you know, taking things apart and electronics. So I had some knowledge of that kind of stuff.
The
first computers were kind of expensive, so I didn't get one of those right away. But I got one pretty, as soon as they became practical to buy one, I bought one. Even though it was, you know, $1,800 or something, which, you know, was a lot of money back then. Science was interesting, but I wasn't too interested in the whole galactic thing. That wasn't all that interesting to me. But there was a lot more to the show than just that. You know, there's a lot of chemistry in it and other stuff in it. And and everything was fine until Carl Sagan started talking about the Drake equation, and he kind of just, it's like the whole show, so you went through all these episodes, it was like 13 of them or something, and find some subjects more interesting than others, suns formation, all that kind of stuff. I couldn't doubt what they said, you know, about what was going on inside of a sun. I didn't have the knowledge to be able to say something like, no, that's not why the sun's on fire. The sun's on fire because gravity is smashing all this stuff into each other, and it don't like it. The electrons don't like being that close together, and the protons, and they're doing a lot of moving, from my perspective now, unfortunately, I saw the glimmer of the failure of science, and now I see it as just, you know, colossal. You know, it is an idiocracy in itself. It doesn't have any, it doesn't test anything. Nothing has to be debated. Nothing has to win an argument. It's just 5-second commercials. Vote for me. There. Done, right? That's all you need to do, right? I just need to tell you to vote for me, and then you'll vote for me, right? That kind of crap. So anyway, so by the time it got to the end, you know, a lot of it, you know, like I said, really, really nice. And then that Attenberg guy, you know, shortly after that, he did that whole evolution show thingy. I don't know if it's really I guess hard to say. I can't remember what it was called, but it was, you know, went through all the kind of the Galapagos adventures. TV did have a really, had some peak moments. I could go all back, Jacques Cousteau did a, insanely brilliant job of making, again, it's another one of those things where you really didn't think about it until, you know, somebody goes under the water and films all this stuff. What the fuck's actually going on in that coral reefs and all of that stuff? Anyway, so by like the end of the show, he did this stupid Drake equation thing, and I never heard of this Drake equation. And he was honest in the sense that he said, "Well, this isn't really a scientific equation, and this isn't da da da." But, you know, it's veiled as if there's some credibility to it, like there was some number they just didn't invent. I mean, purely out of nothing, almost. You know, it's not like they spun a wheel and decided, the odds are 174, because that's what the little spinner said. But it's almost that bad. Where they're trying to predict how many intelligent civilizations there are in the universe, blah, 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 blah. And already then, I knew, just because of the one-time event stuff, that life wasn't going to be poofing on other planets. It's just not in the cards, because there's these hurdles where you say you're on a planet that's literally covered with body parts, and it doesn't happen on the planet where you already have all the pieces. And if it can't happen there, it's not happening somewhere else. So that, just that simple bit of logic, you kind of knew if life of some other slight variety can't arise on a planet absolutely covered with a foot of parts, you know, it's not what they wish it to be, you know, where they're going to have this Star Wars world out there. You know, that ain't going to happen. But anyway, you know, and then you get into the whole limitations of even trying to go anywhere in space is monstrously improbable. Which, if you go any kind of speed, you're going to crash into some kind of dust particle that's going to blow you up. I mean, there's so many things against it being possible in any pragmatic estimate of time. It just ain't gonna happen. So anyway, so Cosmos did, it was, I would argue, it was deeply important to me as an event. It was, preyed on my psychology, I mean, both in positive and negative ways. But, you know, it was rather profound, I would say, as an event happening, in terms of stirring my brain. If I hadn't seen it, you know, I could make the argument that I wouldn't have gone on to doing these, thinking about these kind of questions myself. I mean, I probably wouldn't have doubted science or pretended to maybe know better or any of that, because I was too distant from having enough information to do that. But again, the fact that I could watch this, you know, highly produced, well done, really brilliant piece of science TV, and then watch them turn it all into shit, okay, by talking about an imaginary, you know, faked, you know, equation, and saying they can make these statements about the universe that, in my opinion, were just fables, fantasies. They were just fantasies. They really weren't dealing with the fact that this is just chemistry. And it's brutally, uninterested. It's brutally uninterested in making human robots. And so even that, I had some sense back then that humans were, you know, that I wasn't my own creation. That, you know, I can't act outside of a limited amount of functions that I have based on my sensibilities, based on what I have been bred to, maturated into as a type of machine. I mean, I've lived at a certain zoo. They feed you certain stuff. I already knew that I already had these, I only ate certain kinds of food, and it's just out of habit, I guess, you know, the tradition, which your body gets habitized to, what kind of, I don't know, bacteria or you've been adjusted to, and all of that's going to decide a lot of your behavior. So I already had this idea that my behavior, my capacity to behave, was already limited by what I knew and how I acquired knowledge and all of that stuff. And it wasn't my doing. You know, I didn't make me. It just was put upon me to be me. I was just ordered to be me. It wasn't like I could just say, let me just fix that part, let me take away that part. I knew I couldn't just change, well, you could change the color of your eyes, but you know what I mean. You can't just wish your way and remold yourself into some other character, some other personality. Your reflexes and habits were so entrenched that, you know, would take an awful lot of practice to get you out of them. Once you have the muscle memory, I mean, once you've caught a ball enough times, it's just the reflex says, I'm a ball catcher, I catch balls, you know, I can do that. You know, or somebody else, that's not what they can do. You know, that's not their skill or their talent set. And I already knew that all of mine were just based on, you know, how I happened, what crap I happened to be tumbled through. You know, the obstacle course I played life on. And, yeah, something like that anyway. All right, so we'll play a couple of clips out of this, and I'll probably have something to interject. So it's all this AI stuff, which is really quite interesting, you know, the power of that. And obviously I'd say this is probably the first good use of it. The sad part is that's really its function is to just polish what shouldn't need to be polished, unfortunately, right? From my perspective, I just see it as something that fixes poorly constructed sentences and takes pauses out and does this and that, you know, just mechanically structures a statement into something more precise and even elegant. But does it really measure up to being better, smarter? Or is it also just going to end up being as dumb as the majority that decides, you know, what a good statement is, or a smart statement, or a witty thing to say is, or any of that crap? Is it going to have a high standard, or is it just going to have local moron standard? All right. Something like that. Button. Press. Alright, back sometime later and such. Anyway, so let's play a little of this.
My first.
So anyway, I had to drive at night a lot, I remember, when this was happening, because I couldn't drive during the day, so. Anyway, so I would try to maneuver everything into, you know. And so I would play this driving, and it was just, you know, it's just music that goes with images and stuff flying by and just the ideas of thoughts that pop into one's head when they're doing that. So, you know, very interesting. All right, continuing.
My first memory of consciousness. Is looking out my window with.
So it's really good. You know, so my window was above my bed, so I could stand in the bed and look out the window. Okay. And I didn't have long hair. So, well, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, when I was that young, I'm hard to say. I don't remember.
The wet diaper and saying to myself, what the fuck?
So again, obviously, I couldn't say what the fuck, but. You know, the sensation was that sensation. So that's the kind of funny stuff, is even before you had a language, I remember saying things, okay, in my own head. So I remember the sensation of, I guess, or the it's not a composition, but it's a conception, you know, the conception of disorder versus order, or symmetry versus unbalance. So you could sort of see, you could understand the concept of something being unbalanced without having a word for that idea. High contrast versus low contrast. These are all things you could notice even without a language, and you could have an internal notion of it, but you wouldn't have a word for it. So anyway, very nicely done. All right, so we jump ahead so we don't spoil it. You know, so you have to watch the, go to his channel and watch it. And the link won't be down there in this video. But anyway, it'll be somewhere available. Life sucks. You can do it. All right. So these are all AI, you know, images of things, constructions of the concepts he typed or he put in, and this is what AI produces. And yes, it's really you know, it's getting close enough, you know, to being really good. And you know, this is the sad part, is it's, you know, the fake news aspect of it, where people can, you know, make people say things they didn't say, and all this other really bad stuff that's out there. And you know, it's just another really powerful tool that probably will only be used for malicious, evil purpose.
Gracefully walk the hell out of here, because I didn't get any of it. So I would say, yes, I was born on the wrong side of the planet, or whatever you'd say. I never, as a child, felt terribly secure or
Yeah, so, yeah, so, yeah, it's a very good, you know, it's not exactly, you know, we lived in a nicer house than that. But just the idea of, you know, you're in a place on this earth, and that's how I felt. I was in a place, and there's all these other places and all these people and all this stuff. And it seemed to me that none of them were paying any attention to the important things happening all over the place. There's, you know, there's a rabbit over there and it's hungry, or you know, some other animal has a broken paw, or some other, you know, and all of that was distracting me, and I thought is all stuff that should be distracting other people. And they were totally like, none of it's going on. Like, they're the tree isn't being blown by the wind, and all that, you know, all the stuff I was seeing, they weren't seeing. And so my alienation from humanity had begun. Oh, speaking of rabbit.
Nothing but to satisfy a notion in heads that says we need to be here. We've disgraced our intelligence, insulted it, brutalized it, perverted it. At the core, we're just crap.
So it's a lot of this stuff is like probably overdrawn, you know. But that's the whole point of the AI, is that it, you know, it doesn't know perfect limits, you know, to how far to go, or you know, what is. It's, you know, it's a very good artist, but very immature in its capacity to define the subject or the context, you know. But anyway, it's just really, like I said, it's really interesting what it can generate. So this is like, you know, people, you know, breeding into disaster. Like, even that, you know, even that subtle horror of not only what it's like to have, you know, a disabled parent versus having a disabled kid, you know, versus maybe having both. And it's just such, you know, why people would step into that risk.
Cruel, awful human beings. Pregnant women are a blight. They're a disgusting, awful thing. They shouldn't be cherished. They shouldn't be any of this stuff. What they're doing is incredibly irresponsible. They have no right to think they can control this experiment and everything is going to be just fine.
All right. I mean, it really should. It's something that you should only do if you're really qualified professional, you know. This isn't something crack horse, you know, no. And obviously nature doesn't see it that way, okay, that nature makes it possible for anybody to be this kind of criminal, you know, to pretend to be a pilot when you're not, you know, pretend you took your driver's test and you haven't, you know, pretending you know how to do something when you don't. And yeah, nature allows that kind of crap.
I'm depressed. You know what I was depressed about? I'm living in a fucking meat grinder. I'm watching things that
shouldn't be tormented, and all the guns look like they're pointed right at me.
So I hate to be selfish about it, but yeah, that's part of the problem, is you see the vulnerability in others, and instead of just inspiring some plain empathy from me, which it did, it also inspired fear, because there wasn't any good reason for me to believe I wasn't on the hit list, you know, that I didn't have, you know, some, you know, some pro with a gun doesn't have a little profile on me, and I'm the next person that's going to, you know, step wrong and end up fucked. So speaking of the 80s, this is also right when, maybe a year before, you know, 79, somewhere in there, is when I threw my back out for the first time, you know, where all the work I'd done lugging newspapers as a kid, you know, for 7 years, you know, then working in restaurants carrying very heavy trays. Anyway, doing all that kind of work. I had fucked up my back and I didn't know it. And so, you know, I was on a playing golf on my day off, and you know, it's and you know, I was whatever, eighth hole or something, and you know, all of a sudden my back was nothing. It was just this, like, I, you know, just cactuses, you know, just thorns. You know, my spine was made out of thorns. Anyway, you know, and I was out of work for a week, and you know, really a mess. And so that was another, that was one of those little hits of, oh, you mean my whole life could be this? You know, I could have this for the rest of my life. And it ended up that way, where, you know, I was chronically vulnerable to doing something the wrong way and ending up, you know, fucked for 10 days. But yeah, it's all those, you know, all of these things that, you know, geez, you just wonder how somebody reaches the age of 30 and then decides at 40 and decides to have a kid, because they've already tasted some of this vulnerability, and they should be quite aware of how, don't mess with this, because it can go so wrong, so fast, so easy. It's all gone. So that was sort of what I was going to talk about before this video became to my notice. And, you know, just because I had one of those things where you kill a bug, you know, and you're just saying, well, 1 minute it's there, the next minute it's just a little bit of crud on my finger. And so, yeah, no great tragedy, because I saved it from dying of cancer. There is a tragedy. There's this, you know, it's so unappreciated. All of this great structure and all of this magnificent, you know, capacity. We're just chemistry and we're doing this amazing stuff. And all of it just doesn't mean anything. And it's just, it's such a waste to have produced, you know, these magnificent machines and then have them just swim in sewage. Just, you know, makes no sense. Ooh, sharks.
Would they? You just say it's all great.
Well, that looks pretty fake.
Game, we're great sport. Circle of life, horse.
It's a little better.
You know, is that all they'd say?
And certainly for the animals, it's really a horrible grind. 10,000 dead ones on the battlefield.
Yeah, for some species, you know, octopuses, one of the smartest creatures in the sea, they're born fully functional, you know, fully octopusing. And, you know, yeah, there's like for one survivor, 9,999 have to die for one to get to maturity. And again, these numbers, that's another thought that came to me again, is the, you know, all these feral cats and the, you know, 1 in 25 cats survive, you know, something like that. And it's all these dead kittens. I couldn't kill one of them, you know, billions of them, you know, millions every day. You know, that's what you're voting for, you pro-lifers, is you're the murderer. You're squeezing the guts out of the damn thing every day and saying it's all worth it. It's fun, even. It's fun being, you know, pro, insanely, gratuitously excessive, violent death. Yeah, it's just such a great thing. Oh, God, it's just so depressing. People. Ew, bug.
Game Psycho Killer would do. You just call it evolution. You just give it a different name.
Right, so we might as well call, you know, nature Psycho Killer. What's the difference? Same difference. I mean, the whole idea of it, the whole construct of creating all of these demonstration models and having them fight to the death, you know, to declare some, you know, arbitrarily different one the victor, okay? And that's what we become. That's the carrier of our destiny. You know, and it's deserved, doesn't have much to do with it. It really doesn't. Survival isn't by some kind of decency standard. Survival's often by some standard of you being able to watch your children die and you being able to kill your neighbor and you being able to do all kinds of shitty things. Fact. It's not a contest you win by being great. You know, it's a contest you win by being a wad of suck.
Horrible, just to replicate a molecule, to put new tools on us, to, you know, get us curly hair. I mean, it's just stupid. Stupid, pointless.
Yeah, more evolution. Yeah. So, that came to mind to this, you know, this week was just how many rodents, you know, just, and every one of them could have a name, you know, everyone could have been a star in a movie, Benji or something. Anyone who's had or known these organisms in the domesticated form knows that they are, you know, they're really alive, you know, they're, you know, they have a personality and all that crap, and are appropriately given a name and recognized as a worthy being needing comfort, and they aren't going to find any. You know, a tiny percentage of the rodents on Earth are having a nice day. You know, most of them are not having a nice day.
Well, you won't want to be one of them. They're even in worse shape than I am. You know, for anybody who is enlightened, you know, has any kind of intelligence, it's a decisive argument. It just, you can't argue it. There's no counter argument for the fact that you have an obligation, if you're going to impose, to get consent. And if you're not going to get consent, you have to have some reason.
You have to have some reason to be insanely arrogant and think you know what's best. That somehow the knowing what's best, you know, has fallen upon you and you're the arbiter of it. And I just don't see how that can be done in any honest way by people who are relying on faith, you know, unreasoned belief. So the only thing you can go based on are the reasoned and logical statements about the futility of our ambition and how there isn't anything but crash and burn, crash and burn, crash and burn, crash and burn, crash and burn. It's where it all goes. Nobody has succeeded not to crash and burn.
How do you know it's worth it? Prove it. But I don't see the evidence that demonstrates it's all going to be okay.
So all the people who haven't died yet telling us that, well, it's fine, it's really just a tiny little inconvenience, it's just no big deal at all, it doesn't really take away from the fun of living. Yeah, I think it does. I think that's bullshit.
I'm going to be one of the lucky ones. Well, says you.
Nature was rewarding the intelligence to be a scheming gladiator. You know, to be a-
yes, that's the dark side of it, is that, frankly, the nature can't tell the difference between, an honorable victory and, a scheming, cheating, betraying, backstabbing victory. Just can't tell the difference. Hasn't told the difference, and that's why we are as low character, vulnerable as we are, is because a lot of the winning has been less than honorable.
Our purpose, our function.
You can't, life is great. You can't kill life. No, that'd be horrible. All right, so now let's change the thought experiment a little bit. Let's say the button doesn't kill anything. It doesn't exterminate.
Ah, so yes, the option of just let's play out this last hurrah, and finally put the book down, because it's a really bad story that just keeps redoing Romeo and Juliet over and over again. It has its little peak moment, and then it's, catastrophe. And so why keep reading when that's all you're going to get, is just creating stuff to burn in the fire? If you can't preserve anything and you can't treat anything as it deserves, then you got no business being in that game.
To reduce it back to that level. It's going to end eventually anyway. So all we're talking about is how many more tickets we're going to hand out before we just say this is a closed play.
Right, and tickets that are really bad seats. So how many, you didn't, it's another just anecdotal thing, but, I didn't do much sports stuff as a kid. But I did go to Yankee Stadium twice, free bat day. That was kind of nice, and some other one. But anyway, the seats, it was they actually had seats, and then there's a cement column in front of you. it's 4 feet wide. It really was funny, obviously it's not funny when we're talking about disability and disease and torture and torment. But there's a lot of bad seats in this stadium. A lot of bad seats.
We've been there and done this all over the place, almost every way you can do it. So anyway.
Yes, haven't we? I'm just saying, we're not, since this is like, there's a point where, even movie making becomes kind of superfluous, and it just won't get better. It'll just get bigger and more volume of stories, but there's not going to be any better stories. We're approaching that saturation, the point where there won't be a point. And then there'll be some point where you've created so much stuff that even if you didn't have to work and could spend all your time absorbing it, you could never even have knowledge of all the stuff that's out there, and let alone have absorbed it and appreciated it. And so that's the other part of the downside to the fact that we can store everything and preserve everything, is that now there's even more need for a filter. And who's going to write the filter? The people in power, the majority? Well, they're going to filter out all the stuff that is poignant and meaningful. Okay, it's just so they can glorify their hamburger. Sadly. Okay, a little tiny bit more. That's the end. All right, so really nicely done. I appreciate the I wish I could produce better, more meritorious, or do a better job myself. But it's really great that people can, you know, add some value to what I have produced. And yeah, so I used to, you know, even when I painted, I never signed anything I painted, because, you know, I never feel like I've quite done it well enough to be proud. Yeah. So it remains uncomfortable taking any credit for anything. You know, because I'm still more... I definitely have some appreciation for my functionality and say, well, I'm definitely doing better than most of these assholes. But it's still not good enough, and, you know, for applause. Mm. So anyway, I think that's it for that. So we'll take a pause and see if I can wrap this into anything. But it's, you know, I think it's... the whole subject is interesting, of the manufacture. So I was talking sort of about, like, you know, it'd be even, you know, AIs will write movies, you know, because they're better at it. They'll be better at dialogue. You know, they'll be better at a lot of different parts of even making a screenplay, you know, taking a story and turning it into. And I'm sure they can go through all the witticisms of all time and find some little great witticisms to throw in, and just, you know, modify the play with the words a little bit and say something new that's really saying the same thing that was old, just saying it funnier, or, you know, more clever. So in just writing the formulaic narratives, you know, I mean, it is all this stuff is sort of formula, you know, underdog defeating evil. It's David and Goliath stories, Mothra, Godzilla, you know, whatever. It's all just about the conflict and the victory and the birthday cake, and, you know, there's not much else going on. in terms of what people are living for, is these, this fix of some sense of I did it, you know. We just keep wanting to say I did it. You know, for some reason, saying I did it makes us feel good, because, you know, the irony is even though you can say that works, you know that, oh no, there's always the day after you did it, and then you got to wake up and say, well, now what do I have to do? You know, because the idea of doing it doesn't fix the idea that you have to live for doing it, so you're going to have to find something else to do that's worth you saying I did it again. You have to keep climbing that I did it mountain kind of thing. And so there's just, it's almost better if you don't do it, because then you can just keep climbing the same mountain, I suppose. But anyway, where was I going with that? Yeah, so it's the whole script thing. So, yeah, so I was, you know, in these previous videos, I was sort of talking about the two sides of that, right? The script we're reading, and the fact that we're in the process of writing tomorrow's script today. We can sort of see where tomorrow's script's going. And so we have all this power, you know, ability to see that the script's not going well, and to say, well, let's modify the script, and that will be part of our determined fate, is the fact that we're smart enough to read the shitty script and say, I'm not gonna read this shit. No point in filming me saying that tomorrow, because that's stupid. So I'm gonna say something better than that. You know, that kind of thing. I'm gonna do better than that. Whatever the thing is, but that's what we have the capacity to do with our circumstance. And again, but all of this, you know, AI can do the same. You know, it can just duplicate a lot of our basic function in terms of creating, getting us from a a starting point to a destination. So my starting point is here's five ideas, you know, not a single player game, too expensive, not your money. Now say that, okay, in a story, you know, that kind of thing. And it's probably true that the AI can probably do it better than I can. But anyway. Yeah, it's not really a but anyway statement, is it? I mean, that's the trick of it, is that, you know, obviously we have this one in a million capacity that the AI doesn't have. You know, the AI is kind of, it has this more limited capacity to play with it. But again, that can be broken too, because you can force the AI to be a little bit irrational. You know, you can just turn up the irrational dial, and then it can do a lot more different things to fuck with something that might be a happy accident. We're certainly capable of happy accidenting. But yeah, the AI should be just as capable. But then somebody still has to filter. But see, they can, you know, the AI can paint a million paintings in one day. Yeah. So, you know, again, it's just back to filtering through them all and saying which one is better than the other one. You know, which one says more. And anyway, it's all, these are all information resources, I guess, is the point. And unfortunately, culture, you know, the general public will likely, like they do with everything, just turn it into a hammer. You know, they'll take every sophisticated, powerful tool and pick their nose with it. Yeah. That's the sad truth. All right, so summing up. I was just thinking about the, you know, the recycling part of all this. You know, even the, when I started throwing some of these background images on, and, you know, they just kind of do trigger some, they trigger. And so it's, you know, I'm being triggered by my own triggers from 10,000 years ago kind of thing. My own long history, so to speak, of, you know, it seems like that long, you know. And, you know, all those different perspectives and those different times in one's life. And, you know, being like, even just the cat was just there, you know, Santino. Just different things that, you know, are all fodder for, you know, a new rotation of the thoughts connected to those things, and the, you know, the subtle changes in perspective and the enhancement of your perspective. You know, once you know 2 + 2 = 4, and once you know these things, it's, you can recognize all this other stuff that's connected in the world. And so in some sense, I just feel like it's all so much more obvious, and it's in some sense harder to describe, just because it is so obvious now. But it doesn't hurt to do the rethinking and reprocessing of your own words, even. It's as if you're a muse for yourself, you know. And it's like having another you, in a sense, you know, these other versions to consult, you know, and voice an opinion, and deepen your own contemplation of the task and your capacity to, in some way, figure out how to, you know, properly stick your finger in the hole. You know, in the dam. You know, it seems like it should be that easy. And unfortunately, yeah, there's all this artificial barriers that have to do with communicating with other humans. And, hello, YouTubers! How are you doing today? Is everybody okay? You know, I don't want to do any of that. You know, all the bullshit that has to go with getting permission to go stick your finger in the hole. You know, the bureaucracy, I guess you could call it a kind of bureaucracy of the common folk. You know, the bullshit they put in the way. Yeah, something like that anyway. All right, so I think we'll call that a video and move on and such and so forth and whatnot. Yeah, I think so. I'll give it one, you know, we've got another 5 minutes to get to an hour, so maybe I'll take a pause and see if I'm inspired. All right, so I was just thinking, you know, it was like 10 years ago or more where, you know, you could just get an app for your camera, you know, for your webcam, you know, and it would turn you into a cat or Frankenstein or, you know, and animate it pretty well. And it's funny how that didn't really catch on. Because, you know, I found those videos more interesting than the actual human. So in most cases, when somebody was being some other animal, they were more interesting than if they were, you know, doing the presentation. And, but, you know, obviously, there's, you don't see much of that stuff. And you think with this AI enhancement that it gets even better and better. But maybe it takes actual computer resources, and you know, everybody's on the phone now and people aren't really using computers and all that kind of stuff. So maybe that's one of the reasons. I don't know, just curious. It's funny how it's like even virtual reality, you just don't see much of it. You know, like they, you think they'd be able to, you know, video some kind of what you're getting out of this virtual reality experience. And you don't see much of that either. And you think it'd get pretty good by now. I mean, I haven't tried any of this new stuff with the headsets and all that kind of crap. And, you know, how, what kind of sensors they, you know, can put on your fingers. And, you know, who knows, you know, how good it's gotten. But again, all that stuff ends up just being immersive rather than for the purpose, you know, it's just to play your life game, you know, to create your sensual experience rather than use it as a tool to, you know, inspire or enlighten, whatever word you want to use, educate. I mean, there's so many words you could use, right, between, you know, misinforming and informing, you know, and who's to say which is which, you know, what's a, what are freedom fighters and what are terrorists, you know, all those definitions. Clearly, I think, you know, there are tests, you know, logical tests that have to do with this do unto others thing and these simple ethical rules that, you know, you don't make messes other people have to clean up kind of ethical rules that make it possible to distinguish between the good guys and the bad guys. I think the ones who think deserve should have something to do with it are probably the good guys. And, you know, that kind of stuff. You should earn it. And, you know, but anyway. Yeah, it's probably enough. But anyway, I just, you know, I just have a sense that now, I have too much clutter on the desk, and so there's something on the table, you know, that I've left on. Look, see that? It's really important. You ought to pay attention. Yeah, but whatever. It's just another In Mendem video. You know, I have to push it to you know, I seem to be doing a lot of sideways than forward or up, and I guess I have to work on that. But I don't know exactly how to do that under current conditions, you know, because it's just I'm trying to do way too many things. But anyway, it's just the way it is. It's just, my life has gotten very busy. You know, with all these projects, you know, that just seem just very unfinished, points to make, arguments to make that should have been resolved decades ago, but you still have to fight the fight, and I have to do a better job of it, I guess, yeah. Because I'm not winning. You know, I really should be winning. You know, I would have guessed I would have been winning by now. But anyway, till next time. So yeah, we made it to an hour, blah, 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 and such. Appreciate your viewership. Watch the whole video. Yeah, thank you. I don't know if you needed to, though. That's the problem. The people who need to see the videos aren't the ones watching them. But I have to work on that, too. All right, anyway. Till the next time, blah, 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 blah.